Hi, everyone. Thanks for jumping on to the C3 Church Global Podcast. I'm Phil Pringle, your host, and it is a pleasure to have with us this week Ryan Smith. Thanks. Hi, Ryan.
Thank you for having me.
It's always a pleasure to be with Ryan. He's always been on our staff. How long have you been on our staff?
20 years this year.
Yeah. Ryan was our worship leader for 15 of us?
About 15 years. Yeah.
Incredible. And how many albums did you produce in that time?
I did a count the other day. It was about 30. We're involved in 30. But we produced, as the music director, about 12 of those records.
12 of those records, yeah. Albums. That's live praise and worship.
Live praise and worship and a mix of studio stuff as well.
So it's no small feat.
A lot of hard work.
Well, you got to write 12 songs to start off with.
Got to write the songs and then refine them. That's the hard part. You can think a song's ready, but it's a million miles from okay.
Yeah, so we sat down many times and my part was like the singability.
Yes,
because
strong theology.
I was always thinking of the congregation.
Yep.
Like, can they put these words together in their mouths and worship?
Absolutely.
Are there too many words? Are there? And then the theology.
Theology was always strong. You were fantastic like that because I remember you said, guys, it can't just be cat rhymes with hat. It was like that actually doesn't make any sense. So you were always very big on making sure it was theologically crisp. And I remember that. And so we'd have to go away and read the Bible and just, you know, and workshop these songs. But then when the compatibility with making it singable, that's not easy. That's really hard.
It is.
Because you've got to find alternative words to the ones that you're reading in text.
Yeah, so the thesaurus got to work out.
It got a thrashing, trust me. Some of us learn how to read in that time.
Yeah. Right. What's another word for thesaurus?
Oh, yeah. I'd have no idea. Killing me.
So, Ryan, you began as in this church as a single guy?
No, as a matter of fact, I was dating my beautiful wife now after 23 years. No, we both came to this church in 1995, actually.
Right.
Because word on the street was like, you know, if you don't get up there, you got rocks in your head. And of course, there's a big revival came to town and she'd come out of the Catholic Church. I'd been involved in the Church of England, but we needed fire in our lives. We just knew there was something more. Came down to Brookvale, got absolutely... wrecked.
Is wrecked the word?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Can we say wrecked? Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, we had an encounter that has lasted that length of time.
Right.
And you just don't forget that stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And were you a musician before that?
Yeah, I had played a lot of music in high school. I'd studied at university and then came out and was after I graduated that we found our way into church.
Right.
And got
right.
involved straight away, actually. Yeah.
So, and you were in the band and then you were in a band with my son,
was
Daniel.
We actually both got baptized and went straight into ministry, which was ironic.
Yeah.
We came up out of the water, prayed for everybody else, and then within a couple of weeks we were writing songs and leading worship services. It was all really fast.
Right. Okay, what's the songwriting process for you?
Well, for me personally, it's always come out of free worship. So sit at the piano or with a guitar, leave the phone somewhere else and just begin to sing and try to dial into the frequencies of heaven and try to become a vessel of honor in that and hopefully it comes through you, but sometimes it takes longer than you think it's going to take. Rather than to get too cerebral with it, I just like to sing out of my spirit and see what comes.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
One of the most memorable songs, from my point of view, you could maybe think of another, but would be The Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You remember that.
Oh,
we're getting out the vinyl now.
Totally. Yeah. And the boat in the video going across the water. Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's right.
I can remember. How did that come about?
Funnily enough, I was down in my office as the music director. I was about maybe early 30s, and I was again in one of those free worship moments, but I took a lot longer than normal and looked up at the clock. Actually, one night it was midnight, and the cleaners were locking up and they said, you got to go, we got to alarm the building. I'd been there for 8 hours, but it felt like 5 minutes, but I was just singing it. It was a prayer that had become a song.
Right.
And the first section came very fast, but then I shelved it for about 2 years because it wasn't time. I just didn't feel like it was time. And then revisit it sometime later,
right?
Pre-chorus, chorus, and then that came fast. But it was a slow burn, that one.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. Well, it paid off. Slow cook.
Absolutely.
Soft meat.
Tell me about it. Yeah.
It's, what other songs are significant in your thinking that you've written?
Well,
obviously
writing,
they're all good.
I suppose was stronger than others. Hiding Place was a song that I was really proud of because that came out of a really interesting time. You know, when everything's coming against you, you don't know where to go. You run out of options, basically. Right. It's a bit like the Key of David. Right. You run out of options. Everyone's against you. You've got no choice but to go to the secret place.
Right.
And so I was up very early in the garage for many months just singing again. Yes. And the lyrics came one day and I just felt like I'd dialed into the Psalms and I was able to just talk about my experience of intimacy with the Father.
That's awesome. So music in your theology, I guess, or in your philosophy is obviously high in importance in the kingdom of God.
Oh, critical. Yeah, my
talk
word.
Talk about that.
Well, I think music is the universal language. I've been in other parts of the world where I don't speak the language of where we've visited, but I've been with musicians. They don't speak English and I certainly don't speak what their native language is, but I've just gotten out my guitar and I've looked at them and I've showed them some melodies and then they've, on their instrument, played it back to me. And I've thought, oh my gosh, this is profound. This is like, this is a language.
Yes.
This has a dialect.
Yeah.
And I think if you are a musician and you are an apprentice of Jesus and you endeavor to be a vessel of honor, like not of dishonor, because it's too easy for a musician to become corrupted or defiled or for that part of your life to become contaminated. If you endeavor just to be a vessel of honor and allow it to come through you, it's going to have maximum impact on the people that are on the receiving end. So for me, it's high value because, you know, worship really started in heaven and that's where it's going to finish. So.
That's right. You know, my experience with worship leaders, musicians, the artistic, and I'm an artist myself and not really, I've written a few songs in the early days and I've always found that artistic part of me is sensitized to the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
And music is a very, it's a mood creator.
100%.
You can create a hypey thing. I mean, you just listen to some workout music and it'll help you do your workout.
Yeah.
Then if you want to get peaceful, there's the sort of peaceful music. If you want to get a nice quiet evening jazz vibe on, that sort of music.
Yes.
If you want some grandeur, maybe listen to classic. I mean, it is incredible in its power to affect your emotions and your spiritual state.
It's profound.
David played a guitar and set free King Saul from a demon. That's the power of anointed music. Amazing.
Absolutely. The thing that is very hard for musicians, particularly ones that want to do it in a lifestyle of worship, is that sometimes you have to strike a balance between something that is spiritual, but you have to bring in the emotional content.
Right.
But that's difficult to detach from because it can carry on. You have to be emotionally available to hear from God.
Right.
And that's what a lot of artists are. But then that has a moment where a cutoff point where it's kind of like here and no further.
Right.
And you're not sort of, you know, disconnecting from reality or abandoning your authenticity. You're regulating.
That's beautiful.
And it takes a while. Like, I'm going to go there, but I'm coming back.
There's a level of ruthlessness about that.
Huge.
Yeah. To just say, I can't just be splurging my emotions out here and just
self-indulgent.
Yeah, not caring. Because I definitely, as a leader of churches, knowing the nature of the worship team, gently handling them and leading them, but also creating boundaries for them is so important.
Yeah.
I've seen the devil take out way too many great worship leaders simply because they, number one, I think underestimated the level of significance and importance worship and worship leaders have in the kingdom of God in terms of they lead the church, they carry the current move of God, the current anointing for what God is doing travels through that music. God always with a new move has a new sound.
Yes.
And with a new message has a new song.
Yeah.
And you'll always find that the great preachers of their generation had a singer or a musician that was part of the move that they brought. And so it is folly, it is dangerous to underestimate the significance of that. And if you do, therefore, appreciate the level of importance and significance, then you will definitely consecrate your life, separate it, and fight the good fight against the devil.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things, it's funny you mentioned that, because I was thinking about this the other day. We're all pretty fortunate, obviously, to be under you for 25 years because you are an artist, but your emphasis as a leader on discipline and having a structured lifestyle and paying attention to administration, a lot of us caught that, would not have come naturally because the temptation is to go off the map and to kind of just see which road takes you.
Yeah.
But being in this church for a lot of us has been advantageous because you are a creative, you're a worshiper first. It's helped us to get our lives, our houses in order and our creativity in order. Which is wonderful.
Well, that's great. What a great statement. Mm. It's helped us get our creativity in order.
Absolutely.
And honestly, I've always believed that the world lies at the feet of a disciplined person.
Mm.
And I've always believed that the organized person has got the competitive edge against anything else in the world. So, like we've implemented all sorts of organizational schedules in our office life here, in our work life, 24-hour turnaround rule. If you get a letter, you got to get it back to that person within 24 hours. If you get an email, answer it straight away, even if you don't have the answer. Just things like timeliness and orderliness and sequential thinking.
Yeah.
You do the longest things first because while, you know, the jug is boiling, you're able to actually butter your toast. And,
synchronicity.
The power of lists, the power of all these things, which for some artistic mindset, it's like, oh, no, that would suppress my gift. That would contort the creativity I've got, or that would knock me out of my creative zone.
Yeah.
I might be a little weird, but I've found actually one helps the other.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely. They definitely serve one another through the whole process. And we try and teach this in creative process all the time in college, the notion that you don't make apologies for how you're wired and for your creative flair. But if it's running wild and there's not an element of focus and discipline attached, like starting projects but finishing projects, this sort of thing. We try to emphasize the notion of being results orientated.
Right.
Because the amount of creatives that I've grown
start
up with.
Start things and don't finish.
Well, yeah, their lives are all over the place. Mm. But there's a great satisfaction when you've been, when you've given yourself permission to feel.
Right.
But it hasn't, but you've been able to rise above it.
Right.
And you've been able to turn up on time and you've been able to be consistent. See, when the creative person is sustained.
Right.
Like and they start a pattern of right behavior, but they continue to do it. They haven't always felt like doing it,
right?
But the rewards down the track are enormous.
Well, that's what discipline essentially is.
Yeah,
you're doing a thing when you don't feel like
when
doing it.
When you don't feel like doing it,
you know, and you don't do things when you feel like doing it.
Exactly.
And so both of those disciplines in your nature.
Yeah.
If you get that in one area, it's going to bleed out into every area of your life.
Absolutely.
And serve you well.
Yeah.
And I think that. I think you can have both, though. I think you can have an inspired life.
Yes.
That comes at any moment, middle of the night.
Yeah.
If I'm inspired to write a song, I don't go, it's not 9 o'clock in the morning.
No.
That's when I start writing songs. But at the same time, I've got a regularity about my creativity.
Yes.
So if I was a writer and that's all I did, I'd say at 9 o'clock, I'm going to start writing.
Yeah.
And I get up and start my first chapter, second chapter, whether I've got inspiration or not. And I will find that as soon as I start hitting the keyboard of my, you know, because I write a few books, and as soon as I do that, that inspiration will start flowing.
It's the same with the guitar. Last thing I feel like doing at 45 after 30 years of playing the guitar is playing the guitar because I'm thinking there's not, like people say, oh, there's too much to learn and you never run out. Well, I actually beg to differ. I think there are times when you're like, if I have to hear this instrument one more time, you know, people are going to see the wrong side of me. You don't want to see cranky Ryan. But but there are days I will pick it up and I will play it on purpose.
Right.
Because that's worship.
Right.
Sometimes you have to follow Christ out of obedience alone. There's no fire out of heaven.
Right.
And you follow him because you love him. You said you would. Mm-hmm. And it goes beyond the good feels.
Yes.
You're in a zone now where obedience has taken preference. And right. You're doing the thing because you're wired for it. You're called to it.
Yes.
And you've been given the ability to do it. So sometimes you've got to just do it on purpose.
And the gift kicks in.
It kicks in.
It's amazing.
20 minutes in, you're somewhere else.
Yeah. And you think, wow, mm-hmm. And this is just so astonishing.
Absolutely.
And it may not feel like it's kicked in for a while, but it's definitely going to be there. And we plumb the well by taking action.
Absolutely.
Every time.
Yep.
Okay, so in terms of when you say you like teaching this in C3 College, and how do you do that? I mean, in our college, we've got musicianship.
Yeah.
Is part of one of our artistic courses. We have about, I think, 7 streams when I last looked, and singing, songwriting, and musicianship are obviously in the realm of worship leading.
Yes.
And so you personally tutor people, I do. Understand, right?
I do. Yeah, there's a lot of that. So there's a mechanical side to college. So we're teaching music theory because you need to be armed with the skills to write songs, to lead bands and ensembles, to communicate it, to teach it as well once you've graduated. So there's the mechanical side, but then we also emphasize the spiritual side or the ministry side, where people are learning to do things from the inner life, from the soul.
Right.
And we find that a lot of students come in, their soul is inflamed. And for whatever reason, maybe they haven't been coached on the inner life. Maybe it was never talked about in the churches that they came from. Maybe they didn't even realize there's a theology for it. So we go to work on making sure that they're in touch with their soul.
Wow, so good.
And so we talk about, like, is your soul warped? Is it like, what's God really saying to you? Are you wayward in the inner life? Because the gift is incredibly charming in a lot of people. It's a seductive thing.
Very seductive.
Sometimes you can think someone is like wow town.
Yes.
Right. And you can mistake the gifting or the pizzazz around that gifting for the presence of God.
Right.
Or for ministry. There's a fine line. It's very difficult.
And the gift operates no matter what the character is.
Exactly. Exactly. So we emphasize character as a high value in the college. And we'll talk about going on the journey in the inner life and being in possession of Christ and slowing down for Jesus and you know, absorbing all forms of prayer.
Incredible.
You know?
Incredible.
Otherwise, they you know, chances are, and we've seen the stats, people don't last.
Yeah, and it's awesome, Ryan. Just hearing that, I just feel like that's so got a inspirational, a trigger in it that is going to take people to the right place. And
wonderful.
How awesome it is to be talking about that sort of thing rather than about how are we going to write the next most famous song?
No.
How are we going to actually get to have the influence of the ages out there with the, you know, in all sorts of realms? But to think about actually drawing closer to an intimate relationship with Christ.
Absolutely.
And surfacing worship out of that. The last thing I wanted to talk to you about, like, which is slightly related to the C3 College concept as well, is training worship leaders and head band leaders, musicians, to work with the preacher or the senior pastor in bringing that presence of God and ministry into services.
Well, that's a huge educational emphasis, and that's a transformational education that has to take place in the hearts of people. Working with a senior minister, we don't tend to see a lot of senior ministers operating in their prophetic gifting as much with musicians these days, partly because it's been less emphasized across the world in the world of worship. There seems to have been a greater emphasis on writing songs and being a part of the modern day worship movement. But there is a place for prophetic musicianship where song leaders and musicians, drummers, guitar players, piano players, can actually have their eye on the ball in a meeting, be ready at any time for a suddenly to take place. And when you're prophetic by nature, not just musical, but prophetic, because the question you got to reconcile is, am I a worship leader who prophesies or am I a prophet who sings?
Yeah.
And these are good questions. The same as a guitar. Am I a guitar player who prophesies or am I a prophet who plays the guitar? When you can get that switch and know which way to think about it, you will serve the moment.
Right.
a senior minister can feel like they can go anywhere.
Yes.
And that's exactly how any meeting leader or preacher should be able to feel the freedom
right.
to actually take off and go anywhere. I'm going here, I'm going there, whichever way the wind blows, and the band be there 2,000%.
Yeah.
And that really happens in the college, and it should be happening in prayer meetings and services by simply hosting the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. It is an awesome thing when you're leading a meeting or preaching and you just want right then the worship to carry the moment, and they do.
Yeah.
It's such a great feeling because that worship leader has aligned their spirit with you and we're all on the same page.
Yeah.
We're feeling, but the most terrible thing is when you have got a moment and you're waiting for the backup, but it's not there. And so you have to turn around and actually start explaining. Now would be a good time for the band to stop looking at their phone and actually pick up the drumsticks and could you play a song for us right now? And the moment's gone.
Yeah.
And your own sense of carriage in that. And so to actually be ministers who feel our responsibility is to carry the presence of God to this generation with seamless transitions in services, with the sense of undergirding the worship and praise, not getting on top of it and smothering people, but actually, and that's a volume issue, but to actually engender great worship in the people of God because that anointing of worship is coming out of the heart and the music.
Yep.
It's not about just playing a worship song.
No, no, no.
Well, that's a good worship song. It's working over there. It's the heart, like you said before.
Yeah.
The heart of worship is inside that worship leader.
Absolutely. The only way to foster that as a musician, I personally believe, is you've got to withdraw to a quiet place with your instrument. And sometimes it's without your instrument, but you actually practice the presence of God.
Mm.
And you're not on the clock. Like time is a man-made construct. You pretty much got to be outside of time and do the journey within where you can slow down for intimacy so that you're in possession of Jesus. Because musicians are just very often, Pastor Phil, musicians are trying to give away something they don't possess.
Wow.
And that's a false economy in the kingdom. Like the songs will play themselves and sing themselves if you're in possession of Christ.
Right.
Or if you're full of the Holy Spirit. In fact, at what will take place, we don't really have a language for it, but a senior minister, meeting leader, preacher, person who's ministering on the platform won't even have to say anything because it will already be understood. The spiritual faculties will be speaking the same language. And musicians will just, there's a sense, there's a knowing. And sometimes the meeting leader will call upon them. Other times the band will throw them a bone.
Amazing.
And there's this two-way street that goes on. Yeah. But musicians and singers are kidding themselves. If you use the word consecration before, that's not a word that I tend to throw around lightly, but we don't tend to hear that word surfacing much these days. Pretty much consecration is about closing the escape hatch and deactivating the ejector seat. It's not like, oh, I'll keep my options open. It's not actually give my life to Jesus.
Right.
I've like broken this instrument or this gifting or this whatever God's given me at the feet of Jesus. I can't get it back.
Right.
You know, and that's when the whole house fills with the fragrance of God, the perfume, you know.
That is awesome. Well, man. I'm touched. Just listen to you. That's, I might come to college.
You're welcome. Come and teach. Come and teach our worship team.
it's amazing, you know, and I'd urge anybody to check out the C3 College online or get tutored by this great legendary worship leader, songwriter, Ryan Smith, and a few others that we have on board here. Hey guys, thanks again for logging on this week. Make sure you subscribe, hit that subscribe button, and we'll turn up in your inbox every week. Tag a friend, send it off to a group of friends, send it off to a group of maybe your whole church if you want. Every week you'll be hearing a brand new podcast from yours truly on the C3 Church Global Podcast. God bless you. Look forward to talking again soon.